Welcome to our radio team.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Beacon of Hope. And we've added a couple others in the last few weeks. Andrea Garcia from Texas, whose work situation right now is keeping her from being on much, but you'll see her from her more in the new year. Dr. Angel Falzoni, who co-hosts the show with me on Thursday nights, Go Yard, the life counseling and coaching show. She's also one of our team members, and now Shell Lauren Gray. And besides that gang up in Indiana, Betty and Megan and Cindy Logan and Nan down here, PJ, Nathan, we got quite a group there now, PJ. We've been praying for people that want to join us on this.
Amen. Amen.
I want to take this opportunity right now at the top of the hour just to say that we are getting ready to do our next big event. We just came through our first 4G Kingdom Living Revival in Indiana, which was a success. Many, many people were ministered to. We're going to be doing another one of those soon, probably one in our area in the spring. We'll see. But the next event is 3 weeks from tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. I leave for Mexico again. And that's our next big event. And I'll be gone almost 2 weeks exactly. And ministering in Puebla, where I was in February. This time we are branching out and going to Querétaro, which is about 4 hours away. We started, when I went in February, we took a bunch of radio equipment that our congregation bought, every bit of that, hundreds of dollars of stuff. And we started a Christian radio station there in Puebla. It is doing very well. We don't even charge for people to do shows yet. We're going to do that soon, but we've had to work out a lot of bugs with the radio station. And with we built out a station, actually, over the last 3 months, we built out at the end of the sanctuary of the church. We built out a whole station, a little studio. And so while I'm there, I'll actually be broadcasting a little bit from that studio. I'm excited. But we're taking the studio and the radio station into another area, Querétaro, which is 4 hours away by bus, because one of my good friends that I've known for years, Walter, is his name, and he pastors there and has started a new church. And so we're going to be going there and ministering and meeting with a lot of leaders and really branching out at this radio work. As you can tell, radio is my passion, one of my many passions.
Really?
I love it. Did you could tell that, PJ?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't ask for money. Every single week we come in here, we have a check to put in the box before we do a show. God always provides. But if any of you want to be a part of the Mexico outreach, then you can do that. And you can go to the first page of our website, which is bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom there to donations. Click on that, and it will open a PayPal page, and you can actually give towards the Mexico trip and all the things that we're going to be doing with our radio station in Mexico, which is just, by the way, folks, sponsored entirely by Beacon of Hope Ministries. There's no other church involved. This belongs to this ministry, and it's Christian radio in this wonderful, beautiful area of Puebla, Querétaro. PJ, do you have anything to say about that? I was so blessed this past time to be there in February, and I'm so excited to get on that plane 3 weeks from tomorrow morning.
Just don't take your notebook.
I'm not taking my notebook, although God preserved my notebook and
yes,
found it
did.
For me after I lost it. And
no, I just think it's a wonderful opportunity.
It is.
For evangelism. I mean,
we've
talked about how Beacon is worldwide. Well, it really is.
Yes.
Now, through the radio, we're on in how many countries now?
There's like 9 or 10.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and globally, all they have to do, we're really around the world, and mm-hmm. all they have to do is hit the www.tantalknetwork.com now, or tantalk1340.com. Either one works.
Oh. Hooray.
Yeah, that's new right now. They've changed that to expand tantalknetwork.com or tantalk1340.com. Both of them work globally. They work globally. So it doesn't matter where you are, you can tune in to our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I now have a Spanish show every week. In fact, a Starcom Radio Network has expanded that to 90 minutes of my Spanish shows on Saturday and Sunday. So that's like early in the morning. but like 8 o'clock or something like that. So anyway, that's kind of cool. So God is blessing. That's my point. We are in this not to make money, but to win souls.
Ain't that the truth?
Win souls for God's kingdom. And with that said, that's what it's all about. We give God the praise. We give him the glory. We're going to start the second hour before we talk to Shell here with an old song. Those first two were pretty, well, the first one was pretty old. Second one was brand new. Third one is old. One of my favorites. One of Nathan's favorites. And my dad's, one of his.
When you're up against a struggle that shatters all your dreams, and your hopes have been cruelly crushed by Satan's manifested scheme, and you feel the urge within you to submit to earthly fears, don't let the faith you're standing in seem to disappear. Himself, we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle must be won. We know that Jesus Christ is risen, so the work's already done.
Praise God. Praise God. I love that old song. I don't care how old that is. I love it because it says so much when we're up against a struggle. And so often we are up against those struggles in our life. This man had been lame for 40 years. Peter and John, simply Peter spoke in the name of Jesus, raised him up, and he was instantly, miraculously healed. That right there is enough to cause praise to happen. Mm-hmm. And we see that that is what happened. He was in the temple just praising and worshiping. And there are so many times it's hard to praise God, Shell. Would you agree with us?
Yes, I would definitely agree with you.
What gets in the way of us praising God, Shell?
You know, every single one of us on a daily basis were thrown by curveballs.
Right.
Life isn't always predictable. All of us are dealing with some kind of problem or issue, be it financial or our relationships, our friendships, our jobs. We're always struggling.
Right.
And that brings us down. We just feel pity for ourselves.
Right. yeah.
Sometimes don't even know what to do with ourselves as far as getting out of the rut. You know, so when that happens, you just have to get down on your knees and open up the Bible and hope mm-hmm. for the best. That's what I do.
Hope for the best.
yeah, I mean, it's funny because when you were talking earlier about, I feel timid to be here, honestly, which I know goes against what the message is. We're trying to say, you know, be bold, be confident, but you know, if life were a baseball game and faith too, and knowing our Bible verses and that sort of thing, my batting average wouldn't be so great.
But that's one reason we want you on the team, because you come with that knowledge that, yeah, I don't have all the answers, but I'm here to serve the Lord.
Yeah. So I'm hoping, that I can learn from being
you
here
will.
And that the Spirit, just wells up inside of me as
yes.
a result of trying to put in the elbow grease.
That's exactly what will happen.
Because I'm not here because I think in any way people will benefit from what I have to say. I'm humble
bet.
Here.
Well, listen to that
here,
humility
but,
there.
But I'm here. I'm
but
trying.
You know, but that's what God's looking for, Shelly. He's looking for willing vessels. People that will say, okay, I can throw my 2 cents in there, even though I may not have a degree in this or that or whatever. But life experience, we all have life experience. We all have times where we have felt like God had abandoned us, or times where we felt like we didn't have an answer, and then God comes through. You have that? You've seen him come through in your life many times.
Oh, definitely. It's just reminding ourselves that it's not going to come within our timing. It's God's timing, not ours, and we tend to be impatient by nature.
Why did you say that? That's Isn't that true, though, really?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. PJ, jump in anytime.
That's cute.
You were doing very well.
Yes, you were.
I brought 12 pages of Cliff Notes.
Did you?
Based on the verses we were
really?
Going to talk about.
I saw them when I thought,
seriously,
my heavens, what did she do?
But I'm still like kind of trembling like a leaf because I'm nervous. I haven't been here in a long time. I don't want to sound stupid.
You don't sound stupid. Do you love the Lord with all your heart?
Of course.
Okay. Do you want to serve him?
That's why I'm here.
That's right. Do you have some life experience that, I mean, yeah, you're not quite as old as PJ, but you got some life experience behind you, girl.
No, she just keeps harping on that.
That whole thing, I know.
I've got some mileage, yes.
Yeah, you got some mileage, right?
I used to be the youngest in our,
that's
in our
right.
ministry, and
that's
I'm not
right.
anymore.
Yeah, but you're still pretty much down there as far as age. Yeah, you're still pretty young.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, but you know what? It's all about this desire to help others find the joy, the peace, the all that stuff that God wants to give us. It's all about a desire to serve God, PJ.
And, you know, if we're submitted to God, he'll take care of it.
That's right.
You know, yeah, I got a lot of book learning, but I mean, and I've told you this before. God told me that I have to watch it because that gets in the way.
Right.
A lot of times it's easier for me to hide behind that.
Right.
Because being open to God, being submitted to God, puts you in a very vulnerable position.
Right.
Like Shell here today.
Right.
You know, is feeling pretty vulnerable.
Exactly.
Obedience has a tendency to do that. But
right.
as you walk in obedience and walk with God, that boldness comes.
Exactly.
You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion.
Right. So it's about being able to say, wait a minute, God has met my needs in so many ways. So, Shell, I know that you've never been physically paralyzed, but you just went through a huge trauma in that you had a foot surgery that turned out to be weeks and weeks of being laid up.
Yes. Actually, it's been 4 months.
Okay.
And I'm still healing and still going to physical therapy for it.
Okay.
I read on the blogs and talked to the doctor about what to expect, and apparently I had one of the worst foot deformities that they, you know, to correct. So they had to break 5 bones in my foot, which invariably made, during the resting period, my muscles, my tendons, everything atrophied and weakened. And so it wasn't just physical, physical strength that I lost. I also, at times, got very depressed.
Sure.
I felt lonely and isolated.
Right.
And while I have great support at home, you know, my partner, Diana, she's a physician assistant, so that helps in medicine.
Yes, sure.
But, you know, while she was at work, a lot of times I was at home.
Right.
And by myself, and I don't have family here except for a mom who really can't care for herself. So I had to rely on the help of some very nice neighbors.
Cool.
But basically just be patient, you know. I was frustrated,
right.
But I prayed a lot throughout the entire ordeal. I'm now walking, and so...
You're walking
and leaping and praising
and
God.
And leaping and praising God. And
yes.
Through all that, we learn that patience that we shouldn't be praying and asking God to develop in us, because the minute we pray for that, we're going to have all kinds of things happen to develop that patience in us. But I would imagine that because this was such a trauma, you had to rely on God to see you through some of this pain and some of the depression, etc.
Well, it's funny you say that, talking about patience. I was talking to my physical therapist, and, you know, I've been waiting, I'd say about a year and a half now, I'm doing a career change and going into the field of medicine, and that requires a lot of prerequisites, a lot of classes based in science and math, which are not my forte.
Right.
So I've had to work very hard for that, and, you know, sometimes if a class is canceled, then you've got to wait another semester to come around before you can take it. And then that puts you off for the track that, you know,
right.
Puts you behind on schedule.
Sure.
So anyway, I was talking to the physical therapist, and, you know, I told him I was ready to start the nursing program in January. And he said, your foot's not ready, you know.
Wow.
So I believe that everything does happen for a reason. I didn't end up going into the program in January because a microbiology class was canceled.
Oh, wow.
The teacher was deemed to be incompetent.
Oh, wow.
Unfit, unsafe.
Okay.
There was actually a little fire in the lab.
Oh, no, not good.
But I bring it up only because I needed to have that class in order to start in January, but it was canceled. And at the same time, my foot's not ready, so there's a reason why I'm not starting in January.
Oh, you know what? That brings up a really good point, okay? There's a reason why you're not. You will be starting when God's timing is right, right?
Yes.
Let's take this guy who's sitting there for 40 years waiting. You know, he's sitting there lame. He can't walk. He can't jump. He can't talk. And at the exact moment when God has that right timing, and it's that right timing, we've got to ask God in our lives, Lord, you bring it about, the right timing. You know what I mean? Comment on that, Shell, and then we'll go to PJ on that.
Well, I mean, the best thing I can think of is we've all prayed to God for something. We've all wished it and thought, you know, maybe we got what we wished for because based on our own merit, we deserved it. We made it happen. Whatever the case might be, maybe you actually got what you wanted, like a job. There was a job I wanted. I won't indicate what position or where it was, but I thought it was the perfect fit. And I thought it's what I really wanted. And as it turns out, it was a terrible job. It conflicted with my values, and it ended up being horrible. So that just goes to show you that if you,
right,
if you rely on your own,
right, that's a good point.
If you rely on yourself to determine your destiny, and you think you're always in control, and you ask for something and you get it, you might regret it because it wasn't God's will in the first place.
There you go. So we have to just trust God. That's what this is all about. PJ, talk about that. Then I want to talk about Peter and John here one more time.
Well, yeah, and I've mentioned this before, a verse that I claim for my partner is Philippians 1:6.
Yes.
And, you know, he who began a good work will complete it in the day of Christ Jesus.
Right.
So, you know, I'd held on to that and held on to that, and I still hold on to it. But God showed me a while back, okay, this is also for me, because I need to remember its process, and it may not end till Jesus comes back.
That's right.
So God reminded me about that patience part, patience. Being able to wait and leave it in his hands, which, you know, if it's somebody who concerns you closely, I mean, we've all gone through this.
Yeah, we have.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners have gone through this. When it's somebody who concerns you closely, a family member, a spouse, it's hard to keep your hands off when you see them doing something wrong or you want or they're unsaved. It's hard to keep your hands off, but sometimes God says, just hands off, because like Shell said, we can make a real muddle of things.
Well, I find this interesting that we're talking about this. Of course, we're just letting the Holy Spirit lead. But think about Peter and John. Let's say after that amazing time in Acts chapter 2 and 3 when Peter preached that sermon. Now, here we are, Acts 3. So in Acts 2, the chapter right before, he preaches that sermon. And then if I were Peter, I would be going, okay, God, now what are you going to do next? How are we going to get this gospel out there? Where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Instead, you see Peter and John just doing their staying consistent. They're going to the prayer meeting right at 3:00 every day, like they're supposed to do. They're doing that. They go that day, not knowing, I'm sure, that day there would be a man who had not been able to walk all his life, 40 years, placed at that specific place in time. They go through the open door, which is only what God asked us to do, to go through the open door. And then all kinds of stuff happens. We said a minute ago, all heaven broke loose, right? Mm-hmm. And it caused such an uproar. Peter preached a sermon, 5,000 people all got saved. All of these things happened, but none of those were planned. None of this was planned.
Well, it was, except they didn't know it was.
It was planned by God.
God had planned it.
But it wasn't planned by Peter. Oh, today, by the way, John, today we're going to go and there's going to be this guy and he's going to, you know. I'm headed to Mexico not knowing all that God's going to bring in front of me this time. But as before, I had no clue what I was going to encounter. And so what God is saying here, look at Peter and John. They ended up in jail simply because they prayed over someone. Okay? And so he is our everlasting God. He is the one who's seen about everything that concerns us. We have to live moment by moment with him. Listen to this song. Love it. Lincoln Brewster.
Strength will rise as we wait.
Strength will rise.
Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. You reign forever. Our strong deliverer.
knows we are weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Praise God. Strength arises when we wait upon the Lord. Let's talk about this strength. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23, Peter and John had been thrown in jail. Then they got out because they couldn't find any reason to hold them in jail. All they did was pray for this man who had been lame for 40 years, and he was healed. But as soon as Peter and John get out of jail, they go to their friends and told them what the high priest and religious leaders had said. Hearing this report, because what had the religious leaders said? They had said, don't ever talk in the name of Jesus again. Right, PJ?
Right.
I mean, come on, really? That's what they said. Don't you dare do this. Don't do it again. And I love their response. I think it was Peter who said, well, whether or not you think it's right in God's eyes to listen to you rather than God, you decide. Ha! That's cool. That's in about verse 19 or 20. Of Acts chapter 4. So what do they do when they get out of jail? They go to their friends that were of like mind. Now, dear ones, we do this show every week, and there are a lot of our friends who listen. There are a lot of people scattered around the globe who are of like mind with us. When we need people to be praying, guys, we need to have at least a few people in your corner that you can turn to and say, hey, I'm having a rough time, or this is going on in my life, I need prayer. And it says here, they went to their friends, and hearing the report, they lifted their voices in wonderful harmony in prayer. Harmony in prayer. Strong God, you made heaven and earth, sea and everything. And then they just begin to say, hey, God, we give you the glory. We know you're in the middle of this. Talk to us, PJ, and then we'll go to Shell on this. I just love the fact that they knew who to hang out with, you know?
Right. They went, well, and just to back up just
Acts
a smidge.
Acts 4:23.
Thinking about the song we just played.
Yeah.
Too, I'm sure when they were sitting in jail overnight, they weren't sitting there going, look, we go out and preach the gospel, and look what happens.
Yeah, they weren't doing
I'm
that.
I'm sure they were singing Everlasting God.
Yes.
and Praise the Lord and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And that's part of, I think, why they appeared with such boldness. So the Sanhedrin, the leadership of the temple, says no more in this name. And Peter's response, like you said, I just love that. We can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard.
Yeah, we can't stop talking about God.
We can't stop talking about it. So, but
there's
they
no
knew
way.
Then the next step, and I think this is really important. They didn't just go and hide, or they didn't even stay to themselves. They went and found their brothers and sisters in
yes.
the Lord so that they could get strength from
yes.
them.
Yes.
And I think sometimes when troubles come, we want to isolate.
Mm-hmm.
And they could have gone back to Galilee for all that matters, but they went to the church.
Yes.
And they called everybody together, and they had a prayer meeting.
So important. Talk to a shell. So important, because I think our human tendency is when we're down, we want to lick our wounds and we want to isolate. Don't you think?
Certainly. I think most of us have the tendency to want to draw the blinds and just, I don't know, eat bonbons all day. And
eat bonbons.
In bed and watch soaps.
Yes.
Or whatever.
Yes,
our,
right.
Creature comforts might be our favorite shows, but I think that it's important to be with people who are of like mind.
Amen.
Who have accepted Christ, to be around Christians, because, you know, there is strength in numbers.
Yes.
And being by yourself, sometimes you need to be lifted up by your fellow sister or brother in Christ.
Absolutely.
And the more, the better. And what is it Christ says? And I don't know the verse. PJ, of course, does.
That's
but
right.
Where there are two or three gathered.
Matthew 18. Because we talked about it Wednesday night. That's why I knew that.
Jesus is there.
Right.
So
this is why they went to their friends.
Yes, they went to their friends because they shared the same heart and soul and that spirit that we've been talking about.
And, you know, there's a lot of people we know. We have a lot of friends. All of us have a lot of friends. You know, a lot of people we know. We have a lot of friends on Facebook, whatever. But those that we can really count on during a difficult time, I've heard it said that the real friends, people in your life, there's very few, really, ever, that you can always know are always there. You know, Jesus had that. Peter, James, and John, those three, right? His inner circle. Mm-hmm. Of those, John was his closest friend. So he had John, then he had Peter, James, and John, then he had the other 12 disciples, then he had a group of 70 out there. If you can visualize circles around Jesus. Then he had a whole bunch of other people that followed him that he would not have considered them his best friends, right? And I think that God has set it up this way. He is our friend. He describes himself in John chapter 14. I'm your friend. The Holy Spirit is your friend. But when we are needing prayer of agreement, which is what we talked about Wednesday night and what we thought we were going to talk about today, but it hasn't exactly gone that way. But Matthew 18:18 says that if you agree, two or three of you agree as touching anything, there I am in your midst. And so, you know, we can, let's say if you're one of these out there that says, I don't have anybody in my life, you've got the Word of God. You agree with what the Word says about your situation. And if you notice, even though they were threatened by the religious leaders, Peter and John were not scared when they went to meet with their friends. They were not going, oh, you wouldn't believe what happened to us. We get thrown in jail.
I love the prayer here because it's...
Talk about
it. They start out by saying, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. So they're praising God. They're just, you know, worshiping God. And they said, and you spoke by the Holy Spirit through David. Why do the heathen rage? Or why do the nations rage?
Right.
Why do the people plot in vain? So they were incorporating scripture into their prayer. And then he says, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. So just a little side note here, we're all responsible.
Right.
Herod, Pilate, the Gentiles, and the Jews, we're all responsible, all of us, for Jesus going to the cross. Then they go on and, you know, say...
Look at verse 29.
I know. Now, Lord, consider their threats.
Yes, look at their threats.
Okay, Lord, see what they've done to us. And instead of saying, now, Lord, look at their threats, wipe them off the face of the earth.
Right. Doesn't say that.
No, it says, enable your servants to speak the word with boldness. Now, in the world, the world's response, and we've seen it with protests and whatever... Now, Lord, we're going to launch, all 5,000 of us are going to walk around the temple.
Right.
Okay, in the hopes that you'll knock it flat like you did Jericho. No, that wasn't what they did. They did not. They said, enable us to speak the word of God with boldness.
With boldness.
We're going past what we can see into what we cannot see. We're operating in the spirit realm, not the physical realm. Enable us to speak the word.
Enable us, exactly. And even in our weakest moments, when that is the attitude of our hearts, enable us, Lord, to speak the word, do what we need to get done in this situation. Do you have a comment on that, Shell, before I give you a little personal story?
What was the question?
This boldness, asking God to really speak through us boldly.
I guess... You're saying that we should await with expectations.
Yes.
Not have any doubts that what we're asking for is going to be granted. Again, it's about patience, though. It might come 20 years, 25 years from now, or it could come tomorrow, and you don't know what form of the promise that it will come in. But if you pray to God, he heard you. He guarantees you that.
Exactly. In 1991, I took a group of my church from Indiana, Cornerstone. I took 10 people. One of them was my daughter, Lori, as a teenager. And we went to Tegucigalpa. We went to Honduras to minister for about 10 days. And the first Sunday morning, which we got there on Saturday, on Sunday morning, I was scheduled to speak in this big church. I mean, big church. People were hanging in the windows. It was so crazy. And the interpreter was our guide, Carmen Linder. And so we got up, time for me to preach. And I know you're not going to believe this, Shell or Diana or Pastor Jim, but I had on a blue flower dress and heels and dress. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
I need a picture for proof.
It was 1991. What can I say? Okay, so I get up there to preach, and Carmen's right beside me interpreting into Spanish. Well, growing up in Central America, I had spoken as a young person, I spoke fluently, but many years have passed in between this time and that. And so by now I'm like 42 years old, and it's been like maybe since late teens that I've been speaking. So that morning, this was our prayer, something similar to this as the group gathered in prayer before that service. Lord, we don't know what you're going to do. But we know you're going to do something mighty. Long story short, 5 minutes into this sermon, Carmen starts speaking in English and I'm speaking in Spanish. And God totally miraculously restored my Spanish right then, to the point that everybody's laughing about it. And Carmen goes and sits down on the front row to see what God's going to do. What God did is that multitudes of people came up. My whole team was up there praying for people. They were 10, 20 deep waiting for prayer. And God was doing a mighty thing because he had done the miracle first with the language. And then he did the miracle with praying over all these people. And God did a mighty thing. And my point here is simply, when we're in prayer of agreement, we had all gathered that morning. I had no idea that the miracle was going to be that my Spanish was going to be restored like that. Had no idea what God was going to do, that we were going to see that many people saved, healed, etc. God knew what he was going to do, but it was the agreement. That's the point. It's the agreement, PJ.
Well, and that's what happened here, is they were in agreement and they prayed, you know, take note of their threats.
Yes.
Enable us to speak the word boldly and then confirm it with signs and wonders.
Exactly. That's my point here.
You know, and,
yes.
And so that's what they did. They didn't threaten. They just said, Lord, we said we can't. And almost they were in essence saying, we told the leaders we cannot stop talking about Jesus. We've got to talk about him. So make us bold. And confirm your word. And that's exactly what happened.
That's exactly what happened. And let's take that practically before we do this next song, because sometimes maybe you're not standing in front of a congregation in Tegucigalpa, Honduras, but tal vez, I started to speak in Spanish right then, I'm sorry.
There she goes.
But you're in a position to need an answer from God, or somebody has come across your path that you need to pray for. And here's the point we want to make today. Agreement. Prayer of agreement. You say, well, what if I'm in a situation I'm by myself? Okay, go ahead.
Can you email the prayer line?
Exactly. Hey, guess what? I'm in a mess here. I need prayer of agreement right now.
Yeah, I mean, even if you are by yourself, and there's probably, I'm sure there are maybe some of our listeners who maybe don't have a church or don't have a body of believers they can, for whatever reason, feel comfortable with maybe sharing their issues.
Right.
Send them to us.
Yeah.
Because we will pray in agreement. And
absolutely.
Right here is where we get, like, our scriptural, it's kind of our scriptural mandate to do
right.
what we do.
Right.
Because right here, they pray in agreement, and as we see in verse 31, the place was shaken. They were all, everybody in that room was filled with the Holy Spirit. And they all spoke the word of God with boldness.
With boldness. Talk about a ruckus.
Yeah.
This is quite a ruckus. And so when we feel the most inadequate is when God shows up. That's my opinion. So, Shell, talk to me about that, because there's times we don't know how to pray. We don't know what to do here, but we know there's a need right in front of our face.
Yeah, I've always thought that there's, I don't know, a formula or something like that to go to God with. I thought, you know, do I keep my prayers short? Do I keep them long? I'm usually verbose by nature. But I think you guys spoke to this last week on the radio. It's as simple as writing an email or picking up the phone if you want to talk to God. He hears you. You don't have to be fancy with language.
That's right.
You don't have to know scripture.
Right.
Just speak from your heart, and it can be in the shower. It can be while you're in the car.
Right.
Wherever it might be and however it might be, in plain terms, he's listening.
You are right on. Mm-mm-mm. Chainbreaker.
If you've been walking the same old road for miles and miles, if you've been hearing the same old voice at the same old lies, if you're trying to fill the same old holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. And we've all run to things we know just ain't right. And there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. He's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. You got chains, oh, he's a chain breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you feel lost, well, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain breaker. Oh, if you need freedom, a savior, he's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, well, he's a chain breaker.
Love it. He's a chain breaker. Woo, you got pain. He's a pain taker. Oh, my. Whatever it is you need, dear ones, he is right there to meet your needs. Peter and John ran to their buddies and their friends and their prayer partners, and they said, look what just happened. And they were celebrating and having a party. They weren't going, oh, no, they're going to come get us. Talk to me about that, Shell. They were happy. They were all, it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They continued to speak God's word with fearless confidence. This did not stop them from preaching and talking about God.
Well, that's because the same Spirit that filled Christ, that yes. gave Christ the courage
right.
to face his critics and his persecutors and those who crucified him, tortured him, is the same courage that they were filled up with.
That's exactly right.
So they were jubilant.
Yeah.
And they knew that no matter what the consequences were of them continuing to preach, even though the officials and everyone told them they were not allowed to, they didn't care.
Right.
Because they knew about eternal life and that this life here is just temporary. And
amen. You know, you preach so, it. Go ahead.
I'm trying. And that's all I'm going to say about that. PJ?
You're right on, Joe.
So. Very much so. I mean,
she was getting going there. I know. You know, and one, so, you know, this is just her breakout performance.
I know.
So just
you watch
wait.
One of these times.
Yeah, it's going to be.
She's going to be preaching. She's going to be preaching like me one of these times.
I know. One of these times.
I'll try. I have, honestly, everything I've learned, seriously, about the Bible, I've learned from these two, from Pastor Marsha and from PJ, because up until we joined Beacon of Hope back in 2000, I think it was 9. Or 2008, 2009.
8 or 9.
We didn't study the scriptures. So, I mean, everything I know is as a result of your teaching. And I think that's, as you had pointed that out, that's what God wants, is once you learn, then, you know, share what you've learned to somebody
Amen.
Else.
Amen.
It means bringing in another Christian into that adopted family.
That's exactly right. It's right on. And that's what was going on here. Peter and John go and they go, listen to this. Everything happened. But they had an excitement about them. Wow, we saw this guy totally healed. And yeah, they threatened us, but that's no big deal.
And we got to get thrown in prison.
And we got to go to jail for the night. Yay! And it's really as nasty as they say it is. But anyway.
But we got a chance to share the gospel.
That's it.
To the high priest and his family.
Amen and amen.
You know, I mean, that's if they hadn't been thrown in jail, because they went before Caiaphas, and you know, that whole high priestly family, and Peter preached to them.
You know, I think the thing that it stands out to me here with all this in verse 28, 9, 30, whatever, is talking about that unity that they had, okay? They went to the people that they knew would understand what they had to say, right? I've got wonderful family members, but I've got some family members that would not ever listen to the show or would not even begin to understand what I'm talking about right now today. Because that's just not where they're coming from. And they have not. And so I would not go to them and go, here, this has happened. Let's all agree in prayer. No, I wouldn't do that. Okay. They wouldn't get it. And they wouldn't want to do that. Okay. But I've got church family people. I've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are closer to me in a lot of ways than blood relatives. Mm-hmm. Because we're on the same page. And I can call you, Shell. I can call PJ. I can call Betty, Megan, any of these people at any time and say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Because I've been going through a lot lately with the death of my brother-in-law and so much in my life. And yet, I mean, going to the right people says a lot. Talk to me about that, Shell.
For anybody who's ever felt lonely in life, you know, I've always thought, you know, that whole saying about blood being thicker than water. I think that it should be the spirit is thicker than blood or water.
There you go.
If you have the spirit of Christ in you.
Yes. Yes.
You can always go to a fellow Christian.
Yes.
And know that you're accepted and you're on the same page. You don't have to feel fearful. Like I felt fearful today, stupidly, because I knew I was going to be with you guys, and I'm comforted now by that.
Good.
But
you're okay. You survived it, right? Yay!
You know,
I'm
thinking about the people who've been tossed around and foster home to foster home. And the people who are homebound because maybe they're elderly. And in fact, my grandmother, who's 89 years old, is always taking care of herself. You know, she feels very lonely because her husband of 67 years passed away.
Right.
But we don't have to feel lonely when we think about Christ being with us always.
Exactly.
And God and that this life, it's going to end soon, like the blink of an eye, and we'll all be reunited through Christ in heaven if we just stay the course.
You know, you're exactly right. One of my nephews, Craig, had dinner with my some of them the other night with my sister Karen, who just lost her husband. Craig said, I got to tell you all about a dream I had last night. And he said, his stepdad, Myron, that we just lost to cancer after 11 years, he said, it was a very vivid dream. And in the dream, Myron's just kicking back, really comfortable, very comfortable in this big easy chair. He starts to tell a story, And he starts chuckling and laughing. And he said he was just at ease. He was just happy. He was like just jovial. And he, Craig said, in my dream, as I listened to him, he said, I have no idea what he was saying. I can't remember the story he was telling. But he said it was his joy. His joy caught on. And suddenly I'm chuckling. I'm laughing. And I know he's okay. That he's all right. He's with the Lord. He's okay. And he said, I woke up in peace. Now, that is how God does things. And, you know, the hereafter is happening. It's coming. And when we've lost people that have gone before us, we need to be reassured that they're in the presence of the Lord. And in the meantime, while we're here on this earth, we need to cultivate those relationships that are of like mind with us. Talk about that, PJ.
Well, that's kind of that in the old creed, the communion of the saints. I mean, we need each other. We're built spiritually to need each other.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, Paul calls us a body. Peter calls us a building made out of living stones. You know, we can't function by ourselves.
Right.
I mean, I know. I mean, I tried to do that for years before, you know, we moved down here. I was kind of blown away. I mean, I really depended desperately on, like, the mailings I get from the ministries I supported, because that was the only fellowship I had.
Right.
And those were very dry years. And yet, it's because I wasn't placed where God wanted me to be. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a part of a body. I wasn't another... I wasn't in the building I was supposed to be in, basically.
Right.
And it's... That's the thing with unity. I mean, one of us, we can't do much by ourselves. I mean, we can still do a lot, but, you know, where two or more are gathered my name, I'm there in their midst. If any two of you, just two of you agree.
Right.
As touching any one thing, if you agree on one thing, and that word agree means to make a symphony.
Yes, it does.
You know, if you make a symphony, if you harmonize about this, it'll be done for you.
Yes.
And that's the power of agreement. That's the power of unity. And I mentioned it in Wednesday night. We see a very negative version of that in the Tower of Babel. God said, you know, if we don't stop them, this unity of theirs is going to be a disaster.
Right. So what God says to us now is find people of like mind.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this radio show is that for you out there, wherever you are around this globe. And you can write us, and you can actually get a response from us, because we will do that. I am pastor at BOHMGlobal.com, and he's Pastor Jim at BOHMGlobal.com. And Shell and Pastor Jim and Betty all respond to the email prayers at BOHMGlobal.com. We want to hear from you. We want to know what's going on in your life, and we want to be able to stand there with you. I'm going to give you both a chance to say a final thing before we do a wrap up here. And Shell, you did great. Ring the bell there, PJ.
Yes, you did.
First time radio team member.
Thank you.
I broke the bell.
She's our newbie.
3 years.
Yeah.
I think since I last spoke on the
right,
radio.
Yes.
I don't know.
It's been a while, but you did. Yeah.
But I was happy to be here. And I think the message is, you know, there's good gangs and there's bad gangs. And if you're a gang of Christ, a gang, a beacon of hope, part
right.
of the gang,
right.
that's what keeps us coming back.
Sure.
We moved far away, and it's quite a drive to come to Bible study. And since I'm in school and Diana works all the time,
it's hard.
We can't be there. I try to listen to the radio as much as possible, you know, if I'm driving. But I've missed you guys. And I always feel like even when I've left or I've gone, that's poor grammar.
And you would know.
I never really did go anywhere.
Right, sure.
I've always been with you guys in heart and spirit, and wished you the best.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be part of your gang.
You are.
The gang for Christ.
That's right. Welcome to the radio team.
Thank you.
You did a great job. PJ?
I just want to know who's Alfalfa, who's Spanky.
Oh, yeah.
You're Spanky.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Don't you love the way, though, the Holy Spirit, I mean, all of us got that email from Pastor that said, these are the verses we're going to be going over.
And did we go over?
We went over about a third, maybe a quarter of what Pastor had put down. So, Shell, just as kind of the newbie.
Get used to that.
Just get used to it. It's kind of like Wednesday nights, only this is recorded on radio.
So we just let the Holy Spirit lead. And for yes.
But I was just going to say, you know, how wonderful it was, though. I mean, I really feel like, again.
Good show. Great show.
That people were ministered to.
Yes, yes.
People we may not see till we get to heaven. But I do believe that people were ministered to today.
Amen.
And, again, I was.
Yes.
You know, praise God. I walk in here and I walk out stronger.
Amen.
You know? And that's.
Amen. That's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
Go to our website, www.bohmglobal.com. Get acquainted with the ministry at Beacon of Hope. And always check out our website, because we have hundreds of our shows on our website and ready for you to listen to. It's not far to Jesus. This has been our newbie, Shell Loring Gray, and Nathan Burton, Pastor Jim, my associate pastor, and me, Pastor Marcia McAllister, bringing you the Word of God today from Beacon of Hope. You send in your prayer requests 24/7, 365, to prayers at bohmglobal.com. Prayers at bohmglobal.com. Check out our Thursday night life coaching show, 6:06 p.m. on this radio station. Dr. Angel Falzone, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and me, Go Yard. Check that out this Thursday night, 6:06 p.m. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. This show, 10 a.m. Saturday and Sunday. Go Yard at noon. God bless you, and we hope to see you, and hope you will tune in. And we'll be having a revival perhaps in your area sometime soon, and we'll let you know when that happens. God bless you. Have a great weekend.